The devil is not as powerful as he makes himself look. He can have the package to frighten people. Whether his head is like lion, he looks like scorpion. That's not immaterial in the face of the power of faith. As for the look, he has it. He likes to dress like masquerade because his trade is fear, is lies and deceit. He has certain things he sells and buys. He's a businessman. He trades on certain things. Fear is one of them. He likes to intimidate. And sometimes he can raise a storm. It will look so high that you will be frightened. So you drop your weapons. It's when you drop the shield of faith, then he hits you. No. When things hit, remember who you are. If you forget who you are, remember who he is. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Remember who he is. Remember who he is. Remember who he is. Goliath might be tall, but do you know how big God is? Goliath is like a tiny speck of sand in the palms of the Almighty God. Are mountains imposing? Sometimes, yes. Situations difficult? Sometimes, yes. Challenges of life overbearing? Yes. And that's why when you look at them, sometimes you throw away your defense, your faith. But the scripture says we walk not by sight, we walk by faith. We walk by faith. Switch off the news you have heard. Switch off those things you are looking at and turn your attention to another. Go and get back the substance. Go and get what God said. And now I want to demystify this substance once and for all. How do you get it? Maybe you need to sit. And I'm closing. And this is where we have a lot of issues. We have a lot of issues here now. The teachings have not been clear enough for many. Tomorrow, I'll talk about how to use it and how to use it to create all kinds of changes. But watch. How do you get it? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Is that all? No. Jesus just pointed his disciples. It's not just the word. Prayer and word. Fasting. Now, you could bodati be kebaba forostahish. Let's hear from him where he revealed how you get it. John chapter 15, verse 6. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you will, it will be done. There are two elements you need to bring together to create faith. The first is the word. Load it in your spirit. The word. Because if you don't know what God said, you don't have basis for faith. If you don't know what God has provided, you don't have basis for faith. If you don't know who God said that you are, you don't have basis for faith. I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. And I can have what God says I can have. If you don't know the provisions of the scriptures, you don't have anything you're operating in is assumption. The word. That's abiding in the word, or letting the word abide in you. And this abiding life, which is two-dimensional, is not a one-time event. That I had a good teaching on faith in 1996, and I did a lot of exploits. You need to see us in revival, secondary school revival, and then university revival. When last did you go back to refer that? And that's why you have dropped. That you bought fuel last year, so you all made your trip, your car was working. When last did you visit filling station? That's why you are not moving anymore. It is not that I heard once. You have to constantly refuel this. It's the way you do it, the way you treat your car. Constantly put fuel in the system. And it's not the word. You feed yourself. You see, I ate in 2021. Is that the energy that you are still running with this year? No. You know what to do with food, but you don't know what to do with the word. You know what to do with fuel for your car, and you don't know what to do with the word. Abiding. Not that you did it once. It has to be a constant infusion. Ingest, digestion, feeding your spirit with this stuff. That's how you have that power at your disposal. But the word alone is not what a call fits. Because what they call faith is an unshakable conviction in the human spirit. It is an assurance that is concrete. When anybody has it, I speak to situation or obey. So, sometimes I have heard a message, but I still have doubts. I still don't have that thing. Yes. It's not only you, it happens to everybody. So, there is a second abiding, and that's the one that's called prayer. Prayer is abiding in me. Study and meditation is abiding in the word. Pastor Shola, let me tell you the implication. Eh? What if I take that document somewhere? Maybe it took me the manager. And they deny. They're trying to deny you your right. You have the word evidence. It's written. They say, we didn't issue you this. And they are denying. Don't you know that there is a second evidence on which you can operate? Go and call the man that paid for the car. Let him provide evidence of the transfer. Let him provide evidence of where he signed and this was signed. And by that time, he shows up, added to the other evidence. So, you see, when it comes to prayer, you are bringing the person that gave the promise. When you come to word, you are only taking what he said. But when it comes to prayer, you are bringing his presence. This abiding in me is how the Holy Spirit comes into the situation. This abiding in me is how the anointing steps in. This abiding in me is how the angelic is deployed. The angelic power is deployed. This abiding in me is how God steps into that situation. So you are not just bringing just raw written evidence to court. You're also dragging God into the situation. Let me tell you what is going on here. To create the substance called faith, you need to have a devotional life, a prayer life. You need to have a worship life. You need to have a working relationship with Jesus. You don't just take his word and go and leave him. You need to have a relationship with your sponsor. Then you need to know what he has provided for you, what he has promised you. Let's talk about the word. Just the word. I promise, Pastor Sarah, once we enter 2024, I'm buying you a new car, a beautiful car, and I checked, I've seen the car here, and I made a promise. So she can't have faith because there is a commitment I made, a promise that I made. And she can take that. 6 months pass. She has not seen her car. Do you know what we do in prayer? Is you go back, bring that evidence, and present it to God. You remember you promised me this thing. I didn't want to disturb you because I know we just entered the year, you've been busy. But I know you. And when you talk to God, talk to him from the angle that he does not fail. You tell him, I know you, you don't fail. I know you, you're a person of integrity. I know you, my God, you're a covenant-keeping God. I know you, that you are faithful. And I want to start by thanking you for all the things you have done in the past. So you are a reliable God. You are a faithful. This is how you approach God. This thing you are saying is faith. You start by acknowledging the ones he did in the past. Then to deal with the one you want now, you let him know that you know him, that you trust him, that you believe him, that you know he doesn't fail. Don't come and say, my God,
See you, you are a failure. You promise and you don't keep your word. That's not how you talk to God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know how to exercise faith in God? You thank him for the past. You find some things he has done. Thank him. You are facing a very difficult situation and he looks like he's not doing anything. You find, go back in history. Look for, if you can't find for yourself, find for your mother, find for your brother, find for. This morning we were reading something and the woman Judith said, our ancestors did this and you helped them. You delivered them. And you brought them out of Egypt. Our fathers, this one, this is how you are. If you don't know, quote other people's testimonies. I saw what you did for my friend in Kechi, and I'm very happy. It makes me know that my God is alive. I know you, that you are true. I saw how you gave my friend a baby. I saw the other woman, how you changed her situation. That lets me know that you are a faithful God, and I know that you are no respecter of person. That what you do for one, you can do for another. My God, I want to celebrate you. I want to honor you. I want to, this is faith. This is faith. This is faith. This is faith in oppression. And when I finish, I said, you gave me a word, Lord, that you will give me this car. You see, some of you women, when you want to go and talk to your husband, see you promise and fail. You see, you don't know. You are the one misbehaving. Promise and fail. Because the thing delayed for 6 months, God's own can delay for 2 years. He did not promise and fail. He said, put me in remembrance. Take my word and come back and put it. That's how faith operates. He said, you told me you would do it. And I have a confidence in you. Because you don't fail, you are faithful. Even now, I'm going to start celebrating that car because I know who gave the promise. The one that gave the promise does not fail. I will start celebrating. I will even get a picture put in my room because I know it is real. Next thing you hear in heaven, Angel Gabriel, what are you doing here? Did you hear what that woman said? Move. God can pass 1 million people just to locate a man or a woman that has faith in him. God can pass 1 million people just to locate. What happens is that it's not just that he does that thing, you get a breakthrough. He is glad I have somebody that has confidence in me. So he likes to display. So you see, because it is not Pastor Sarah coming up with the request, it is me that made the commitment. You see how faith starts. It's not you coming up with things. You go and look for provisions that God made, commitments that he made, promises that he made. So when you want to approach God, first go look at his word. Look at that. So you are trying to make sure you have the substance, the evidence, so that when you stand, you are talking with confidence. But that is just one side. See, you have one side, right? The title, the evidence, you have your receipt. But the other side is, this woman that I promised to buy a car, I promised to build her house, I promised to do all that, has to be nice to me in relationship. If I come back, I don't get food. If I come back, she nags and disturbs me. Is she going to get the car? Even though there is a real promise, is she going to get it? The other side now is relationship with the Lord. Your worship life. Your prayer life. Spend time. You come back, this woman takes care of, spends time with you. There are sometimes when she is not even the one that will remember, you say, I think there's something I promised before. I just can't remember. What is that thing again? What is it that I say I will do for your birthday? You say, you told me it's range. I've been waiting for it, but I know I don't want to disturb it. When you flow in the presence of God, flow in koinonia, sometimes you don't need to bind the mountain. You don't need to speak. God will just move. Faith moves mountains, but the presence of God causes it to disappear. Sometimes you are even in worship, raptured in it, the sickness dies. Now, why that process of speaking is important?
there are times when God bypasses it because of koinonia. Abide in me is koinonia. It's fellowship. It's intimacy. It is prayer life. It is a walk with the Lord. That's the part he means by when he said, delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. You see? When a woman now is in good standing with her husband, is in good relationship, there is an assurance that comes from it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not just that you have the word. Mix it with spending time with God. There is something the presence of God infuses in your spirit. A dimension of faith that is even higher than just that letter that you put in your head. PCJ, let me ask. When Moses was standing before the Red Sea and they looked back and saw the armies of Egypt coming and they are in trouble, he looked back, Egyptian army, 1 billion of them coming to destroy them. He looked in the front, Red Sea, there is no way out. You think what he did was, where is my Bible? I need substance. Let me look for where God promised. No time for that. What he had then is a working relationship. So he looked up and said, Lord, the children of Israel are crying and what do I do here? I mean, we're in trouble. The Lord said, stop crying. Tell the children of Israel to move forward and then stretch your rod over the sea and I will divide it. Do you see where the faith comes from? It is out of that place of koinonia God infuses a word. The word he infuses in your spirit is called rhema word. It is not this written one now. It's not this. Matthew chapter 3 said, no. It is now a quickened word, a revealed word, a rhema, a revelation. Sometimes it is direction. He gives you what to do, tells you what to do. What you do in prayer is you pray till you get a conviction that is beyond, you can't explain to people. Do you know where your prayer is answered? You stay in prayer till you get to that place where all fear vanishes. You stay in prayer till that point where that inner assurance you cannot explain to people hits your soul. You stay in prayer till you get to a point where the peace of God that is beyond understanding floods your heart. Nothing has changed in the physical, but this peace floods you. The body lifts from you. That stress and pressure lifts. There is now joy in your spirit. That prayer has been answered. It is when we reach that point, we come out. We now speak with confidence. That Goliath you see today, you will see him no more. The Egyptians you see today, you will see him no more. So you see, Moses cried to the Lord, but because he has a relationship with him, when he talked, God said, stop. Don't worry. You see this? Tell the children of Israel to move forward. Huh? Move towards this. He said, yes. Moses told them, oh yeah, move forward. He said, you see this Egyptian you see today? You will see them. You see, from where we speak, we're not speaking out of head knowledge. We're not speaking out of, I agree with the Bible. A man that has spent time with God has something in him. He has an assurance he carries in his soul. I walk onto that crusade. I see 100,000 people. People are sick. People are crippled. Those things don't mean anything because I just came out of his presence. I have this assurance. I have this knowing. It is from there I speak. That's how men of faith are. That's how faith works. This is how you get it. Now you will notice that if you stay away from the Lord for a long time, the doubt will start coming back again. Yes. If that lady starts quarreling and they have breakdown in their relationship, how will she have the confidence to come and say, please, I need 2 million because I want to send it to my mom. She said, my friend, don't disturb me. See? This is also why whenever there is a breakdown in our relationship with the Lord, we bring repentance. Because I can't have faith when I'm in sin. It does not work. I can't have faith. But there is a type of faith I can have then. It is faith in the mercy of God. Because he promised me that if I repent, if I confess, he will forgive me and cleanse me from all. So I have faith in his mercy. When David, that prophet came and said, choose which of the punishment I will give you. Hand you over to you. He said, no. I know him. He's a merciful God. Let me fall into his hand. Let me not fall into the hand of man. Let me not fall into the hand of Satan. God, don't hand me to Satan to punish me. He's very wicked. Don't hand me to human. Human beings are mean and wicked. Please, I fall into your hand. You are my father. You are a merciful God. Even if you flog me, I know you flog me because you love me. Please, I'm sorry. What you see in the Bible, the same thing turns the whole situation around for that person. Sometimes he now blesses the same individual more than he blesses even the ones that are. That's why he can throw a party for the prodigal son and confuse the other son. Because when people repent and turn away, God even shows them extra favor. I'm not saying go and sin first so you can enjoy more favor. No, that's not the point. Do you know that couples that know how to reconcile, that their relationship get thicker after reconciliation? Abiding life is the secret of faith life. It's the secret of faith life. So your devotional life is not just going to pray. It's also going to feed your spirit with the word. Devotion has two components. Putting fuel in the car. And then prayer is combustion, turning the ignition on. Then power is released. The word is wood. Prayer is fire. The word is the fuel. Prayer is ignition. And then the engine will start delivering power. You want power. That's what we want. We want this power that moves mountain. Feed your spirit with the word. And then go through combustion when you pray. That's why Jude 20. Put it up. Let them see. Building up yourself in your most holy faith. Doing what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Did you see what was happening to many of you here? The substance is in your spirit now. I saw you dismantling things. Those things you were dismantled are dismantled all. Now, the issue now is when you are not in a prophetic summit, where you are not in this environment, what do you do to be able to have that kind of power you had here now? Time spent with God and time spent with his word. There are discussions. And if we open here for discussion, you will see all types of dynamics. Because of differences in our situation. I go to work. I rise up very early. I leave my home by 4. Does that stop you from fueling your car? You just have to find a way to do it. Do you want to park on the road? You don't understand. My company, they even work. And sometimes they even work on Sundays. Does that stop you from fueling your body? You still find time to eat. Because if you take that for so many days, you're going to pack and you can't do that work. So, you see, this issue of fueling your body with food, fueling your car, fueling your generator. But when it comes to fueling your spirit with the energy it needs to control your destiny, you give excuses. No, there is no excuse. These things are called the non-delegatable responsibilities of life. Your spiritual life is number one. So whether it is in the evening, you do the fueling. Whether it is during break, you go to filling station. Whether it is early hours of the morning. Whether you have a special arrangement for them to be delivering fuel to your house. The method does not matter. The important thing is that you do it. You do your devotion in the night. You do it on the weekend. Or you go for a retreat once in 3 months. It does not matter. You know when the fuel starts depleting. Because the doubts, the circumstances of life now weigh more on you. The power you have within that makes you rule is depleting. Do you know when you are hungry? Eh? Do you know when you are thirsty?
Do you know when you are overstressed? Do you know? Do you know when you need sleep? Eh? That's how your spirit also know when you are depleting on faith. When faith energy is depleting, your spirit know. You can just carry your body and be looking. Just because you were powerful in 2023 doesn't mean you'll be powerful in God in 2024 if you don't do the needful. This year, you are going to be overpowerful. Can I hear somebody say amen?
Amen.
Faith, if, no matter how powerful it is the substance of things. What? Hope for hope. What is hope? Goals. What is hope? Your dreams. What is hope? Your expectations. What is hope? Your vision. What is hope? That idea that is in your head. Yes, that God gave you. You now need faith to bring it to pass. So make sure tomorrow, any session now, and you have goals. You should have some written down. Don't tell me I have it in my heart. Is right, but the Bible also recommends write the vision, make it plain upon table. And Mark 11, 25, 26, even 24 said, what things soever you desire. So what is hope? Your desires. The things you want to accomplish, your objectives. So if you have faith, but you don't give faith target, the faith will achieve nothing. So you're like a person who has gun, but you're just shooting in the air. Why another person is using his own to kill and tell, kill target? You are just playing with your... The weapon is powerful, but you don't have any target, anything to really... So you see, it's the substance of things that you hope for, that you dream for, that you want to happen. Those things. Hope is your future that you want to happen. Hope is your dreams that you want to come to pass. Faith is what delivers it. We are going to see a lot of things shifted. A lot of things. A lot has happened tonight, too. A lot has happened yesterday. But you are going to see dimensions of movement. And it's not only when you are here. Sometimes things are hitting you. You hear something. You're hitting. Don't wait till everybody's praying. Because they don't have the problem you have. You hit that thing. Fire that bullet. You can join back the sermon when you finish. Okay, pass it on. Thank you, guys. Thank you. God bless you.